Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
Oh, I'm Liz.
And I am Peter.
Ah, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Liz, Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very excited to get into this.
Yeah, we've got Peter is a new guest. He's never been on before. Oh. Peter's from the Rebels podcast, which is about only David Bowie music, right?
No, it's a very, very weird Star Wars Rebels history of Star Wars / David Bowie mashup podcast.
Oh, so. Thank God. That sounds so... That is our cup of tea.
Okay.
I was going to say, is it a podcast with only movies that have Rebel in it?
Yes. Awesome. With Rebel Wilson. It's all the movies.
All Rebel Wilson. The Rebel Wilson universe?
Cinematic universe, yeah.
No. Great.
Honestly, we were coming up with names right around when Bowie died, and he was a big influence on us, and I was just like, I had the theme in my head about like Rebels characters with the Ziggy Stardust lightning bolt, and I was like, "That's our podcast."
Your artwork is second to none.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I remember the first day I saw it, I was like, "Oh, we gotta get this guy on the show."
Well, my co-host Mike does almost all of it. We had one really cool fan submission that we're using, kind of stealing, but Mike does the artwork, and he's awesome.
Awesome.
I love my Space Oddity pin.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm waiting for some of your Mean Girls Minute merch. I am a huge
All right,
mean
you
Girls
two can talk
too.
Later. Good Lord.
All right, so let's talk about Mean Girls for a little while.
We're not talking about Mean Girls or Rebels. We're on Minute Impossible. We're talking about the movie Mission Impossible 2. Let me do your intros real quick. All right, here we go. All right, everybody get ready. Our first guest is a new guest. He fights for the rebellion against the Galactic Empire, and he fights for the good fight, one episode of Star Wars Rebels at a time. Welcome, Peter Gett.
Oh, yeah.
There we go, yeah. He did it.
Has anyone ever done that before? Is that trademarked or anything?
No.
Yeah, I just made that up.
When Macho Man died, it became public domain.
Public domain, exactly.
Oh, okay, cool.
And our second guest is number one in our hearts, and our first repeat guest of this show this season, back by popular demand to talk horse stuff, it's everyone's mean girl, Liz Whittaker.
That's right, suck it, Lumley.
I don't even get the reference, but I just like when anyone says suck it. So yeah. Good
There's
on you.
Nothing better than trash talking another guest. that's quality stuff. We're here for minute 46, guys. Minute 46 of this movie begins with Ambrose standing behind Hugh Stamp and ends with a bit of horse racing. All right, let's all make sure we hold Liz back for a couple of seconds because this week is going to be interesting. Ooh. I'm glad we have a lady here so she can talk about the wonderful stuff that both Hugh and Ambrose are going to talk about and the way they talk about it.
About because how angry she is that you gave her the cigar cutter minute.
Okay, to be fair, you asked for horse minutes, and these were the horse minutes. It just happens to also have finger minutes on it. Is it the fact that he's cutting off Stamp's tip of his finger? We'll get to it. Mm-hmm. Or is it because of the lines that he says in that minute?
I have no idea what he said because I'm just so squicked out about what's going to happen the entire time.
Well, you know, you can think about it as male genitalia instead of a finger. How about that?
If it helps, that helps.
That helps.
If it helps, I'm going to explain some stuff from the original script, and I think it'll help. Make you feel better about that scene. I hope I can help you heal, Liz.
If it also helps, what he says is just as offensive as what he does. So perfect.
I don't know. I think I would rather have the tip of my finger cut off than have to listen to somebody ever say what Ambrose said.
Well, you can barely understand him with his accent, so it doesn't really matter.
Seriously. I know. It totally doesn't matter. This is the meet cute that we've been waiting for. Since last week, we learned Hugh's relationship with his boss is kind of complicated. And I think we now know how the actor has decided to play it. And this scene puts a exclamation point on the end of that.
Yeah.
There are no questions in anyone's mind how Stamp feels about toward Ambrose.
Yeah.
The second he takes his hand and holds him back there, and he's talking closely to his ear. Oh my God, Stamp just melts.
Well, all he needed is a ball gag and a writing crop, you know, and he's good to go.
Oh, he could have borrowed a riding crop for the next
one. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Maybe a little saddle.
Yeah, a little saddle with a little guy on it. Well, that's Ambrose. Ambrose
is the little guy, exactly.
And it continues the conversation we had last week where Ambrose was pretty much big-dogging Stamp, saying, of course I know she is probably a plant from the IMF. But he's so confident in this scene, he says, I'm so confident that he's going to get more info out of her than she can get out of him. And also, maybe she's a Trojan horse. Here you go, Liz. Maybe she's a Trojan horse. I'd like to give her a ride or two.
Hey-oh. I did hear that.
Okay. That's just the first line. There's two lines in this minute that are bad.
Oh, wait. Can I pause for 1 second? Uh-huh. I'm assuming. So blonde guy's name is Stamp, right?
That's what you're saying? Yeah. Okay. Hugh Stamp.
Okay. First of all, that's definitely a porn name. Second of all, I just kept calling him Sean Bean because I didn't know his name. So my first note is Sean Bean's in trouble.
Not Sean Bean. Not Sean.
I'm still going to call him Sean Bean. But
right. Cool. That's fine. I have a hard time because he's just the Duke from Moulin Rouge. So, you know.
Ambrose has taken his cutter, and he is now right at the tip of his finger, and this is where, I guess, Liz gets real squeamish.
Just the tip.
Why are his fingernails so long?
Yeah. That is it's a nasty hangnail. We talked about this last week. That is a cosmetic nail, we think, that was added just for this scene, because he's like, that's a nasty hangnail, and he comes in for it.
That's not what a hangnail means.
I agree.
That's a coke nail.
Yeah, no, that's what I wrote in my notes.
It's the wrong finger.
That's a hobo nail.
Yes, his fingernails are longer than mine. Do some manual labor. Work that down.
Hugh's kind of a pretty boy and a fancy boy. He doesn't do that sort of stuff.
And I'm going to break this down into a couple of separate things, because there's so many things to talk about in this minute that I think that the best thing to do is go over the first part, which is the finger cutting. The finger cutting, let's go over that, and then we'll go to what Ambrose says at the end of this minute that made me almost throw my computer across the room when I was watching this clip. He is going to cut the tip of his finger off. In the movie, how much of his finger do you think he's cutting off, Liz, like in your mind?
Oh, by
why you won't watch it.
When he actually does it, it's really like an inconsequential amount. It's like he basically cuts off with his range of motion at the end, he could basically just be cutting off his fingernail because he moves the cutter so far up his finger as he is. God, I'm really glad that,
okay.
No, I'm just being thankful that Rob and George aren't here right now. As the way he has that cigar cutter moving, he's almost all the way off his finger by the time he finally cuts.
Right.
It's just the, literally just the tip. Just to see what it feels like.
There's so many jokes. Let's just move on. We all know there's a joke there. Chris?
Yes.
Peter, how much did you think originally when you saw this movie? Did you think he cut off at least the, I would call the first section, you know, like your finger has those...
first knuckle. Those,
yeah, the first knuckle. Is that what you think it was?
I didn't think it was the first knuckle. I thought it was at least just the little front tip, the top tip of the finger, so that, you know, like the little...
So not even half a
knuckle. No, just like the fatty part of the finger at the top with the part of the nail that's sticking up. I thought it was just that
much.
Because, you know, the rest of the movie, he starts to itch at it when he's... got the thing, so it's not like seriously bleeding, so I'm thinking it's, you know, it's not too much of a finger.
Yeah, I agree. I think he missed all the bone. If he had normal sized fingernails, then he wouldn't have even gotten the fingernail. It's like here's a hot take. I don't even think it was that bad of an injury. Like, I've worked in kitchens my entire life, and I know so many people that just like sliced off the very tippy top of their finger. Mm-hmm. It's fine. People get over it. I think it's more of the insult. Like, he's just like mad. Like, it's a really bad management tactic.
Well,
that's why I'm so upset.
Yeah.
I'm upset by his poor management.
Yeah, that's why Liz is like, you're not following the five rules of management. Well,
guys, I went to college for this, and you are ruining
it. It's like that story about Orson Welles firing somebody on the first day of a set. You know, he's trying to show who's boss here, so nobody else comes up to him and says, hey, you know, maybe this person isn't a good idea to have around. So I'm thinking that that's part of it, too, basically putting stamp in his place and saying, you're my subordinate, do what I say.
Well, I've got the script, and I went through it, and the script also has it being lighter. I remember it being more, because later we're going to see the bandage that's on it, and it feels like a lot of bandage. It feels like they overgauzed the whole thing. I know why later in the movie they needed something they could easily identify, but at this point I was like, oh, little baby's got a boo-boo. You literally just need one of those weird band-aids that goes on the tip of a finger and maybe some Neosporin.
Well, yeah, but maybe they didn't have that handy. And have you ever tried to, like, bandage a finger? You're always like, I can't quite get it to stay. I just need a little bit more. And then half, 2 seconds later, you're wearing an oven mitt.
Yeah, I mean,
they're in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have bad medical on the island, and if he doesn't cover it up, it's going to get infected and he's going to lose his finger. That's what I'm thinking.
Having had to care for a wound that doesn't seem very big for 5 years, I was always told to over gauze it so that way the pressure was on the point that would be bleeding. So I think it's properly gauzed for the wound.
Was that your dialysis?
Yes, for my tube? Arm. I had one in my stomach for a while, but the one on my arm I had to overdo, and it was literally like my whole upper arm was gauzed up.
So you stamped it. You put three times more gauze than needed.
Yep. Well, you know, I didn't want to bleed out, so I'm assuming that's what stamps.
Well, no, that makes sense.
That's Stamps' thing, probably, unless he cauterized it. You know.
Ugh. No. And the only line missing from the movie, they end it with the snip and it goes to the next scene. It ends with him lighting the cigar, Ambrose lighting the cigar, throwing Stamp a napkin, and then said, don't ever question my judgment again. Glad they took that out, because that's implied.
Yeah.
I think when anyone cuts off the tip of your finger, it's implied that you probably have done something wrong and probably don't do it again.
He doesn't say anything about cleaning up after himself, right? No, because that's in the script. You're right. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, oh, it's nice that they had that in the script. Like, he is his friend. What a nice guy.
Plus, did he snip the cigar before or after the finger?
Before.
That could be very unsanitary.
After. Well, no, didn't he snip
it before
anyway?
Yeah.
I think he snipped it last week.
Yeah, he snipped it last week, so he's just holding on.
He just happened to already have it in his hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he was, Stamp said something last week that he's about to echo, and he... Right when he's about to snip it off, he says, I'm gagging for it. The worst line of the entire Mission Impossible franchise.
Yeah.
I would say.
I made myself forget that already. I did hear it.
It said it twice. Stamp said it to him. Mm-hmm. She must not be gagging for it. And then he says, I'm gagging for it. I'm like,
who talks like that?
Robert Towne.
Is that like some weird 2000s slang that we don't remember?
Yeah, remember when we all used to say that? I'm gagging for it.
It was a wild time in 2000, so I don't know.
Well, there was the gag me with the spoon bit, but you know.
That's different. That's not a spoon they're talking about.
That's a different context, hopefully.
So we kind of learned that Ambrose is so smitten for her, he doesn't care if she's a spy. He just wants to physically be with her. That's it. He wants to take the Trojan horse out for a ride or two. Motivation is terrible in this movie.
There's a line that I can't tell because of the terrible accents. He says, some of
He's
us...
He's Welsh, Peter. Come on, man. Be
Sorry,
cool.
I guess I'm racist. He says, some no of us have the burden of blank to deal with.
Sex.
Oh, what? That line doesn't even make sense.
Luckily, I have that in front of me. It says, now you must realize that some of us have the burden of sex to deal with. And my dear chap, I may or may not know why she thinks she's here, but I'm willing to take the risk because you, I am gagging for it.
That reminds me, I should watch Shrek again.
Ah, donkey. I'm gagging for it, donkey.
Oh, no, that got weird.
Nightmares.
Someone please in the IMF group, please create a mashup Photoshop of him as
I'm on it.
Shrek. All right, cool. Well, you just have to put that in your notes to remember for whenever this comes out.
You know, I'm going to do it right now, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just save it for us.
We get a little bit of horse stuff in here.
We do get a little bit of horse stuff.
I found a really weird thing that I do, which I didn't realize I did, is mm-hmm. I'm so trained, especially with Star Wars and things like that, to look at like secret clues and Easter eggs because I'm really into that. And I automatically did that trying to read the words on the jockey's pants as they come out. And I was like trying to do like a word jumble, be like, what is John Woo saying about this scene? But I don't think he actually thought about it that much.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish one of the horses was named Gagging for it. That'd have been... And Gagging Ford is in the lead behind. That would have been awesome. And people are like, what did they just say? No, that's a good thing. There's not a lot of hidden meat. There's a lot of symbolism in this movie, Peter. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of hidden messages. I don't think Wu at this point had the grasp of... He had the grasp of Chinese cinema. And he was able to create all these different effects and talk about cool things and have doves represent freedom and, you know, other things, caged animals being free. And, but I think when it comes to, I don't think he has the, he's subtle enough to have put in little Easter eggs. Also, there's only been one movie. So I'm wondering what he would have put in. Like what would have been a good Easter egg, like for a Mission Possible movie?
It was just John Woo's name everywhere. It was like hidden in things.
Like just spelled O-O-W or something.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I was genuinely like thinking like it could be some word jumble that has something to do with like a code he has to put in at the end of blah blah blah, or like I don't know, like calling back to another movie, something like that. But
or like it's a setup for a payoff at the end of the movie, like Bad Wolf in season one of New Doctor Who.
Yep. Definitely. That's a good call. I guess I just expected more from the genius director of Face Off.
You'll find that the genius director of Face Off just basically used a lot of the same stuff that he wasn't able to put into Face Off in this movie. So, I mean, it's still quite interesting. And he is a beautiful cinematographer and director in the way it looks. Everything looks great. But yeah, it's interesting. I like the horses as they come by. I like that they're out of focus and it kind of racks focus into focus, and then they go by. It's kind of the quintessential shot of horses. Mm-hmm. And I know Liz really wanted these minutes.
It's not for the horses.
No, what was it for?
The hats.
Oh, the hats. Yeah. Well, we'll get to the hats tomorrow.
Good. I thought we were gonna have a problem because if there's one thing I hate more than anything, it's a horse movie. It's just a weird thing. Like, if you try to put Warhorse on in my house, I will kick you out of my house.
How about Hot to Trot?
Nope. Anything with a horse in it. I don't understand it. I don't get why people want to make movies about them. They're a majestic beast, but get
what
them
about
out
a
of
centaur?
My face.
then don't watch Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, well. I did see that.
There you go.
Luckily, I wouldn't classify it as a horse movie. It just has a very shocking appearance of a horse.
Or JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, wait, you said horse. Sorry. That's a very specific reference. No one, only like certain ages can get that stupid.
What's JoJo Dancer?
It's a Richard Pryor movie. Go watch it. It's fun as a childhood. In a brothel. See ya.
Bye.
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 Okay, so we'll wait until tomorrow for hats. This is a good time to go to Peter. We do tech of the app. You get to pick what tech you think you saw in the episode that you thought was the coolest or most interesting. And I'll go first since I didn't actually tell you this beforehand.
It's all right.
Like we always do.
Yeah.
We don't tell new guests because it's more fun for them to have to scramble around. Esoteric things are also funny. Pick whatever you want. My tech of the app is probably going to be the cutter, the cigar cutter. I have one. I don't smoke cigars that often. I mean, it's like maybe one every 2 years. But I do enjoy them. I used to like them more, but I don't do it anymore. And the cigar cutter, to me, a good one is very sharp. And that is what we're talking about. It was like titanium one we talked about last week. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So that gets a kudos from me. And also, I'm wondering if you could cut off a finger. I know they did it in Darkman.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Darkman, he cut off every one of his people. He cut off a finger from. So, yeah, he used it. But that must have been one of those titanium ones, like you said, you know.
What about you, Chris?
Ah, that's a good question. I'm going to go with the fake little finger. The little fingernail, that's going to be mine.
Oh, if you slow it down, it's not a real finger, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's some good tech.
It's like a fake finger, I think. Unless it could be a real finger, but like we get later in the movie with Tom Cruise's real eye. So, you know.
And they took off maybe the blade
and
just had him do the motion.
Yeah, that could be.
Just makes a snipping note. Because if you do it fast enough, you wouldn't be able to tell.
No, exactly.
That it's actually just pinching the guy's finger.
Exactly.
You know, at the
end. It's probably still got to hurt, you know, pinching. But I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Fake little finger.
Fake finger.
There's a little tiny blood droplet if you watch it slow enough.
Oh.
Hmm.
That's for Liz. Just you to make her squeamish.
No, I'm actually, that I'm fine with. It's the, like, all the buildup to it that I don't like.
You're not a big horror
fan? You don't like
fan?
The way they act toward each other or the fact that it looks like he's about to cut off the rest of it?
Just all of it.
Like when he's down in the meat.
It's further. Yeah, it's the anticipation and the like teasing of it.
And Stamp having literally a breathless,
open
mouth reaction
it's just
to it.
Almost near orgasm reaction to it.
It's all real distressing.
Well, that's valid. I like it. Peter, what about you for your first tech of the app?
Was that her tech of the app? Is that what she said?
No.
I
interrupted. Oh, he's just letting Peter go before me.
No, go, Liz.
Yeah, go.
I'm going to say the horse race gate.
Okay.
They'll get better. That's just what...
It gets better, Liz.
That's what I have for this minute. Better.
All right.
I'm going through the minute to see if you could actually see it, but I don't think you can actually see it. But I'm still going to say it anyway because I don't think there's a lot of tech in this minute. But I'm going to go with the fireplace because that room looks very cozy. It's going to he's going to have a hell of a time getting the blood out of the carpet.
A spa. We've decided it's they're doing a couple's massage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've decided because Ambrose is still wearing a robe, so we don't know what's happening. He's also got those Japanese paper walls. So it's a mess.
Yeah, that whole thing could go
blood.
Up
blood is literally the last thing you want in that entire house.
Yeah, it just looks nice. I mean, my co-host and I used to live together, and we had this room we called the cabin room. It was very cozy with a fireplace, and I haven't had one since. And I am missing it. It was a gentle treat that really made me happy.
Especially since you cut off the tip of his finger.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would constantly be cutting things off of him. It was a very weird house to live in.
All right, good. Perfect. There's no winner in this. We're all the winners for talking about tech. I think Robot Finger, though, is my favorite. I mean, maybe not Robot, but maybe like Puppet Finger, you know.
Yep.
Like, do you think they use just someone's... I bet ILM literally has... Not ILM, but like the Henson... Creature Shop just has casts of people's fingers and stuff all over the place. They literally just go and go, do you literally have a finger? Which one do you need? I need a pinky. White, black, white gentleman, please, Caucasian, about 32. They're like, yeah, we got that.
Well, that was just a Twitter thread the other day that they're talking about insert shots in Star Wars movies and whose fans they were.
I saw that.
Yeah, the Rian Johnson and Pablo Hidalgo were talking about. About different hands that never belonged to the actual actors or that were digitally placed in or actors wearing costumes or non-actors wearing costumes. It was great. So it makes me think of that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they were in good company.
Yeah. I love that stuff.
All right. Great. Well, on Mondays, we like to plug. So We'll start with Peter. You're new here, so plug away, sir. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks. Well, if you are into very, very geeky Star Wars, more geeky than most Star Wars fans are good with, then please...
You're listening to a minute-by-minute breakdown of Mission Impossible. Okay. Don't worry.
Listen to Rebels Rebels. You can find everything, Instagram, Twitter, all that at Rebels Rebels Pod. And we use the series Star Wars Rebels as a jumping off point to go through all the EU and the history. And then we also do these really deep, deep dives. Like we just talked half an hour about how hyperspace could theoretically work, the physics of it. So, yeah, we like to say we're like the hardcore history of Star Wars. So if you're into that, check us out.
Cool. I love the show.
Thanks.
I'm a listener.
I appreciate that. That's really nice.
No problem.
We'll definitely have all of y'all on soon. We've talked about
Sweet,
it.
Cool.
We're just going to have to schedule.
Liz, what about you? And Liz, just so you know, this is going to come out probably 2.5 to 3 months from now. So if your other show is ready to go, you can talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, I was going to because, yeah, Mean Girls.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mean Girls Minute will definitely be over by then.
All right, go for it.
Well, so if you like what I have to say about minutes of movies and you think Jeopardy is an interesting concept.
I do.
Oh.
Like Alex
Trebek
Jeopardy?
Boy, have I got the podcast for you.
Yeah?
You should check out Potent Potables. It's just the coolest little podcast in the land. It's a weekly breakdown of the episodes of Jeopardy that came out that week.
And, oh, it's going to be so, oh, wow. Such a good show. I'm just going to assume. It's such a good show.
I'm assuming
it's
it is,
you and Allison. It's you and Allison, right?
Yeah, with Grimm.
Allison Grimm. Guest of the show, Allison Grimm.
You can find us at potentpotables.com and on the Twitters and I don't probably other places too.
Can you spell potent potables for us?
Oh, sure. That's P O T E N T P O D A B E L E S. Potent Potables.
I would have definitely gotten that wrong.
No, I would have spelled it a different way. So that's awesome. Great.
Well,
thank you.
And so for those of you who don't get the very intelligent pun we're making, potent potables is a common category on Jeopardy. And a potable is like a libation. So we're just going to get drunk and talk about Jeopardy.
You know what? If you don't get it, don't listen. Because this is the kind of humor that's going to be on the show.
If you don't get it, go to hell.
I'll see you in Christian hell.
Yeah.
All right.
So check that out. I'm sure it's great and definitely happening.
Definitely happening.
You can find us at all of our normal places like MinuteImpossible.com where all our episodes are on iTunes, Stitcher. Don't forget, you can ask Alexa to play an episode of Mission Impossible. Say, Alexa, play the most recent episode of Mission Impossible.
Minute She's Impossible? Talk. That's the name of your show, bro.
Yeah. Alexa, stop.
If you say play the latest Mission Impossible, it's just going to play the Limp Bizkit theme over and over and over.
I was expecting her to talk during it, so I was like, I'm not thinking, okay. Say, listen to the most recent, ask Alexa to play the most recent episode of Minute Impossible, and it will. Hold on.
I haven't tried that yet. That's a good idea for my podcast.
Yeah, they're on there now through, if you use iHeartRadio or Spotify or any of those. And nice. A lot of times, if you're paying for an RSS feed, they're now sending those to those. So it's a good way. I mean, we've had our breakdown of some of the Fallout movie had 72 from Spotify where we'd had two like the year before. So I think that's just from one episode. We had 72 listen on Spotify.
Oh,
so
wow,
cool. I have a feeling the number's going to go up.
Cool.
Very cool. All right. We're also on Twitter at Min Impossible, MIN Impossible, and MinuteImpossible.com/Patreon. If you'd like to find out a way to help us keep the servers running and help us out, we always do some extra special things. So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Liz.
And I'm Macho Man Peter Savage.
Oh, yeah, oh, brother.
Yeah.
Or the Kool-Aid Man.
Or the Kool-Aid Man or Jesse the Body Ventura, all of them.
This minute will self-destruct.
You didn't count.
See you next time.